Some weeks ago, I was trying to explain the studio photocopier to a group of students. This was intended to demystify a basic printing process and help them to explore new types of paper and surface, but also to encourage them to clear their own paper jams, rather than letting the communal machine flail for hours, with its little red error light blinking hopefully. Saving the electrostatic and photoconductivity details for another time, I started by describing the path that a piece of paper takes through the machine. From the flat stack in the slide-out tray, the paper moves through a series of rollers, bending and curving around them. Fine dry toner is applied, in sequence if the intended transfer is in colour, and then warmed and pressed to melt and fuse the particles onto the surface. If the paper is to be printed double-sided, it goes through this process twice, briefly popping out from the machine, only to be sucked back in and reappear somewhere else. When finished, the paper is warm and always slightly curled from the heat, and any delicate fuzzy nap it had before printing has now been flattened. The paper is also now fused to the image it has picked up along the way. I ended the explanation by showing how to change the cartridges, replenish the trays, and pull out mangled pieces of paper from inside the machine. Often during the clearing of a paper jam, I have come away with fingertips dusted grey-black. This is because the image hasn't yet been fused by heat, and so toner is lying softly on the surface, like chalk pastel. Occasionally the transfer is only half there, as the paper didn't make a full turn around the drum, and an incomplete rainbow marks the ragged image edge. In these halted or jammed print jobs, the images are on the page and on my fingers, but also suspended in the air. There are little particles of toner which drift from the open machine onto the ground, or the open flap of door A, or the extended external paper tray. Motes get carried off on my foot, or smudge themselves on the hem of my shirt sleeve. Tiny pieces of images get ferried around the office via an open door, or the breeze created by a fast-walking colleague. In addition to these chance particle images in the air, there are a whole lot more inside the printer itself. Part of the photocopier process involves chance adherence of some, but not all, toner to the paper. Whatever doesn't cling successfully is swept into an internal storage container. Called the waste toner cartridge, this fills up as the other toner cartridges empty themselves out. If you open up the waste toner cartridge, which is not recommended by the manufacturer, it is filled with a dust that seems to hover anxiously. The large amount of dry ink is collected and stored inside, appears as a mid-toned grey, brown, black. It looks this way because it is a mixture of all the colours in the printer, but it is surprising how makeup-like it seems. Vague and neutralish, like the colour of an eyebrow pencil making pretend shadows for real hairs. The toner is dense and yet somehow fluffed, so soft as to be almost imperceptible when you push your finger down into it. My collaborator Ziggy Lever has written previously about the potential for installations to change over time, and that a certain image of an installation takes hold as the authoritative or final one, despite that finality being a kind of fiction. He mentions the making and planning processes, alterations of light or temperature within a space, material transformations of objects, and the individual responses of visitors as examples of what gets lost in the photographic documentation of an exhibition, despite being essential parts of an installation's life cycle. When Lever asks, what traces those materials back to the installation after it disappears? I don't think this is a call for a more exhaustive documentation as evidence of those subtle qualities mentioned above. Rather, I understand the question as an acknowledgement of the flimsiness of the final documentation of an installation, and that despite its authoritative stance, an image's representations have a capacity to be circumvented or interfered with. I use printed matter in installation and sculpture, primarily making multiple publications and ephemera for dispersal, but also as a substrate underneath other parts of a sculpture. This printed matter can be made up from images and texts sourced from historical documents, gathered from online archives, authored by myself, commissioned contemporaneously, or be a combination of those things. publications in multiple that are free to be taken away by audiences can sometimes be presumed supplementary to an installation, and their looseness and mobility often evades the final, photographically documented when and where of the work. Publications like this operate outside of the type of photographic documentation that fixes an installation's archived image, because they are free to meander, scrunched up in pockets or smoothed flat between the pages of a notebook. If they lack a tether, such as a date, a title, or an artist's name, these publications can also become untraceable, finding themselves amongst other objects and documents, aging at different rates because of exposure to sunlight, used as ad hoc shopping list surfaces. However, thinking about the waste toner cartridge inside the photocopier, I wonder about an even more dissipated when and where for these publications, in particular the images and texts within them, one more on a molecular level than at a scale tangible to the human eye. When does an image solidify? In the photocopier, the answer can be straightforward. The image only adheres to the paper once it passes over and under the heated zone of the roller. It is this particular amalgam of toner which we can call the image, and everything else is just waste to be scraped away. But the waste toner cartridge creates this condition, only through its naming, not because it accurately categorizes the material held within it. To me, these recalcitrant toner particles can be thought of as an extension of the paper-bound image, or maybe like a shadow image. Not solid in any way, and certainly not readable to the human eye, they are instead like pollen or dust in their ability to wander on the air or hitch a ride on a trouser hem. All the particles in the waste toner cartridge had the potential to be part of an image or a piece of text, and it is only chance which determined their fate at the last minute. These particles came into contact with images and texts, yet for whatever reason did not fuse to the paper. Inside the waste toner cartridge, there must be thousands of ghost images and trace texts. They are all bunched up together, intermingled, out of order. There may be more of one ghost image or trace text than another, depending on the amount of copies originally requested or the surface area of toner applied to the drum. So infrequently does the cartridge get replaced that potential pieces of one image from yesterday must be rubbed up next to some particulate from text printed last month or last year. How printed matter is disseminated from within an installation or sculpture is similarly not a one-way street. This dispersal follows a multi-pronged pathway which can be traversed back and forth and which ultimately changes the publication and what is held within them over time. Ephemera from an installation changes hands and locations, becomes archived alongside past exhibition materials, or loses its artistic context entirely. That the constituent materials of printed matter in my practice may also meander off the page before they assemble into a publication draws these multi-pronged pathways back further, charting more whens and wheres that cannot be known. But I can also loop back around even now. In my everyday, I share the photocopier with an identifiable group of co-workers and students. And so it is really the excess toner of their images that my images are coming into contact with. Particles we have each instrumentalized to communicate our interrelated thought processes, drawings and texts, are jostled together within the machine like a temporary cosmos, waiting for an errant sleeve to move them into new arrangements, or a breeze to disperse them into the air.